music. Amen. All they're powerful, anointed. Just what they do. God's going to use him mightily today. I want him to come, take his liberty here today. Get behind a man of God. Preach with him. Let God speak into your life today.
Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord. Thank you. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for the presence of the Lord that we feel here. Amen. There was one time, at least in my life, where this presence was something foreign to me. I never experienced the presence of God. I didn't even realize that a presence like this even existed. And I believe that since then, I believe that it's always important to make sure that we never take what we feel for granted. Amen. So right now, let's thank the Lord for the presence of God that we feel in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen. I give honor to the pastor of this house, Pastor Roberts. Amen. For the opportunity to come and be with you all for the duration of the next few days, I guess. Amen. Amen. We got the opportunity to spend some time with him and his wife last night at a good steak. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for Sister Roberts. Amen. Amen. We thank God for her. I've been here before, but the building was turned the same building, but the inside done changed. Amen. Some of you look somewhat familiar. Maybe a few people in here that might have been here when I was here, probably. I don't know. I remember it being very cold. There was a blizzard coming. And the pastor at that time, I think his might have been Clark or something. Brother Clark. He told me, he said, Brother Hurt, I was supposed to preach in outside of Philadelphia. He said, Brother Hurt, I know you're tired. He said, but he said, man, we got a blizzard coming through here. And if you wait till morning time to get out of here, you're not going to make it. And he said, so I said, so what are you saying? He said, you probably want to get out of here now. So that was the last time I was here. I think probably around 2011, 2010, 2011. And I'm happy to be back. Amen. Man, I want to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to go to verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to talk to you this day about the power of expectation. The power of expectation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your will. I'm asking God that you would move in this house, Father. Let your perfect will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together and worship the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. The power of expectation. There are people that many of us in this room, if we would begin to think about people that we have known all of our life, whether it be a friend, family member, a coworker, a relative. It is amazing how over a period of time we're able to establish some form of a reputation. If you follow someone for the next 60 days and you're there when they wake up in the morning, you're there when they go to bed at night, and you were to monitor them and their behavior, and you monitor their character when they come in contact with good situations and bad situations, it's kind of easy after a period of time to somewhat calculate what a person would be doing 20 days from now, 50 days from now, 30 days from now. Because really, if you take a person and you give it 60 days and you follow them and you watch them and you monitor them, monitor their behavior, monitor their transactions, you will find that after that, we pretty much are predictable. Even to the place where you may take someone that, if you're a chess player, you've examined the person, and you've examined how they think. From that moment, you can use their pattern to their disadvantage. The Bible declares that when it comes down to our enemies, the Bible says for us to not be ignorant when it comes down to Satan's devices. But many of us in this room, we have people in our life that are known for just doing random nice stuff. Some of us have friends that from time to time may think about you and say, hey, I was driving, most of the time it'll be women, because most of the time men ain't thinking about another man. But women will go to a mall somewhere and they'll find the dress and say, oh, this dress is so beautiful. It would look good on Tabitha. And she buys the dress for Tabitha, and she gets home and she calls Tabitha and says, girl, I found this dress. It's just right for you. It'd be perfect for you. But men, we don't have that expectation. But man calls me and says, Brother Hurd, I was thinking, I found these pants, and these pants really look good on you. You know, we'd have some problems. Most of the time, it would be because that's not what I would expect from you. So what happens is when it comes down to expectation, the culture that we have set for ourselves, and sometimes the culture that has been set for us oftentimes determine our expectations. Even to the place where I'm not one that would be considered a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that the Bible declares that the enemy is the prince and the power of the air. He is the god of this world. He is the god of the system of this world. And the system of this world is meant to control. The system of this world is meant to keep you in the box. The system of this world is meant to keep you in captivity and bondage. So what happens is, if faith is the only thing that pleases God, then what they do is they make sure that they put your expectation in everything that is without God, and no expectation with anything that is God, to the place where the world that we live in is kind of like a world where, like I said, if you sit back and you examine people, I've got a cell phone, and the cell phone that I have, it monitors pretty much everything. It collects all my data, it collects all my phone conversations, it collects all of my text messages, my emails, things that I surf the internet with when I'm bored. They know what I look for. They know when I go on Amazon. They know when I'm on Craigslist. They know who my friends are. They know how long it takes for me to scroll past something. They know what gets my attention. They know what doesn't get my attention. To the place where, if you want to control that person, what you do is you set in front of them things that would get their attention. So what happens is, if my wife wants to be distracted too long on Facebook, all you have to do is put ads up there probably that caters to things that she likes. And if, you know, you want to be a distraction to me, all you got to do is put ads up there of somebody fishing, you know, and that would probably be a distraction to me. And it'd be easy for me to gravitate towards that. And from that, then what happens is, if you want to continue to always control and manipulate that person, all you have to do is make sure that you put in front of them the things that they desire. And if you want them to move, remove from them the things that they don't desire. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? It is imperative that we as people of God make sure that we desire the things of God. The Bible declares, let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the enemy is out for your mind. The enemy is out for your thoughts. The enemy has recognized your patterns. He has studied you from birth. And not only has he studied you from birth, but he's studied your mom and dad from their birth. So he knows how your mother thinks, and he knows how your father thinks, and he knows how they think when they come together. And he knows how you think, to the place where, when it comes down to examining how they think, it is to with the intent of deceiving them so that it can kill the expectation when it comes down to God. To the place where you got to understand that the Bible declares that in the book of Genesis, when God said, let there be light, light appeared because of the expectation that he has in his word. The Bible lets us know that God said, my word is forever settled in heaven. Though there is nothing that's manifested immediately, when God speaks it, it's going to be. He said, heaven and earth, he said, will pass away, but my word will always stand. That means God speaks his word, and there's nothing that's going to change it. There's no opposition out there that's going to hinder what he said. Is going to hinder it from coming to pass. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have to understand that the Word not only is with God, but that Word that's with them is also God. You have to understand, praise God, that what the enemy desires to do is he desires for us to not have confidence in the Word of God. He doesn't want us to have confidence in the things of God. So what it is, we have more people that have more confidence in the things of the devil than they have confidence in the things of God. God tells you that I'm going to heal you. We were like, oh, well, yeah, maybe. But if the devil says he's going to kill you, then what happens is we become nervous, we become frustrated. If the doctor comes and gives you a report that you're going to die, we're more apt to believe that report. If God says you're going to live, we're less likely to believe that report. You have to understand that many of us don't realize that some of that is because of how the world is. That's why the Bible declares to come out from among the world. and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Why do I need to come out from among the world? I've got to come out from the way the world thinks. I have to come out from the program of the world. I have to come out from the system of the world. If you're going to get, even though you may have a laptop, if you're going to put the new system on, you got to get rid of the old system. Something has to happen to the old system. And many of us were born and raised under an old system. And what God is trying to do is he is trying to program in us a new system. See, the old system, praise the Lord, is comfortable. The old system, praise the Lord, is a system that keeps you in bondage. But the new system has come to liberate you. The new system is not there to keep you in bondage, but the new system is there to empower you. Everybody say, empower me. God does not want us, praise the Lord, to just be a religious system, praise the Lord, but God wants us to be a kingdom people. God wants us to be a powerful people. God wants us to be a people with authority. He said, I want you to be the head, not the tail, the lender, and not the borrower. So what's going on, praise God, is that the Lord has come and the Lord has brought a message. And we understand that message to be the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happens is he brings a message to the people, not only to the Jews should have been expecting that message. The Jews should have been expecting not only that message, but the Jews should have been expecting the Christ. But what happened was, because of the traditions of men, what happened was when the word of God was made flesh in front of them, it was unproductive to them. It was impossible for them to receive Christ. Why? Because they had no expectation. You have to understand that when it comes down to the traditions of men, praise the Lord, traditions of men hinder our expectation when it comes down to the voice of God in our life. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? That means that I need to look more for the word of God to be fulfilled in my life than just going through the religious motions. You got to understand that going through the motions, praise the Lord, produces no fruit. But when you begin to go through the things of the Spirit and you begin to become one and you become obedient to the voice of God, then what happens is you're doing it with a purpose, and that purpose increases expectation. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? There are people in this room that God is going to deliver, but he's going to deliver you because of your expectation. It's not just us coming to the house of God and just showing up that God's going to move. You ever met people, praise the Lord, they just think that just because I'm here that things are just supposed to happen. That's like me getting in my car and thinking that the car is going to drive just because I got into the driver's seat. You got to understand that you have a responsibility, praise the Lord, to turn the ignition on and turn the car on and put the thing out of park in the drive. I mean, so what happens is God is saying that what he is designed to do is, the Lord said, I want to put my authority in you. He said, I want to bring you to a place flowing with milk and honey. He said, I want to give you this land. I want to give you the city. I want to give you the territory. He said, I've got you in this area, not for your own benefit. He said, but I've got you here on earth for my benefit. Can I tell you, church, that many of us in this room, praise the Lord, some of us will say, Brother Hurt, I used to go to a church, or Brother Hurt, I've been in church all my life, and I thought that all I had to do was just live a good, wholesome life, just make sure that I don't do drugs, don't do alcohol, don't drink, don't smoke, don't gamble, don't do all this and do all that, and everything would be fine and right with me. But can I tell you that God did not save you for the fact that he did not save you for the purpose of not going back and doing drugs? You have to understand that there was something bigger that man fell from. You have to understand that there was something bigger that God is trying to restore us back to. And you got to understand that when man fell, not only did he fall from a relationship with God, but he fell from dominion. He fell from authority. And what God is trying to do is he is trying to restore his dominion back on the inside of you. So what happens is, praise the Lord, is that when a person no longer wants to obey the voice of God, then they have no expectation towards the voice of God. They have no expectation towards the word of God. What do you mean? A lie comes to steal, and the the lie comes to steal. And the lie comes to steal your expectation. And the lie comes to kill the one that should have the expectation. So what do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand that when the enemy comes and he tells you a lie, it is so that you have no confidence in the voice of God. And when you have no confidence in the voice of God, then you have no expectation. So what do you mean? You got to understand that we are different from the earth. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that that earth, praise the Lord, that soil that's in the earth, praise the Lord, is nothing. It's dead, praise God. But when God breathes into that nostrils of that soil, it then becomes a living soul. You have to understand, praise God, that what God desires to do is God desires to breathe his word on the inside of us. He wants to breathe his breath on the inside of us, plant his seed on the inside of us, that we are able to produce something. But no woman can give birth to a child if her womb is dead. Have you ever met somebody, praise the Lord, that could not produce any children? Have you ever met a woman, praise the Lord, that tried and could not produce any children? Something was wrong with the womb. You got to understand that your expectation is like a womb when it comes down to the voice of God. And what God is saying is, when I give you a word, praise the Lord, there must be an expectation in your heart to see what I have spoken come to pass in your life. You're not going to see a child come to fruition without a womb. There is no child, praise the Lord, that is going to come to life, praise the Lord, if that womb, praise the Lord, does not have an expectation. That womb, praise God, every month comes around and it waits because there is an expectation that something is going to happen. What do you mean? If something doesn't happen this month, there's an expectation for next month. And if something doesn't happen for next month, there's an expectation for the following month after that. You have to understand, church, that you must live with an expectation of faith that what God said he's going to do is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, it's going to happen the next week. What do you mean? You got to understand that every woman's body, praise the Lord, is built with expectation. Praise the Lord. You got to understand all the way up until the day you die, regardless on if you want it or not. Praise the Lord. I mean, not until the day you die. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. But all the way up until that appointed time, there is this expectation in your body. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that when you have a power of expectation, when you have expectation, when a woman cannot bring forth any children, that woman has no food, that woman has no inheritance, that woman, praise the Lord, has nothing to look forward to. She cannot receive any blessings. Why? Because they're cut off with that woman. You have to understand, but when you have a womb that can produce, then what happens is God says, I can give you a promise. If you have a womb that can produce, then what God says, I'm going to give you the blessing. You understand, the Bible declares this story about Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, praise the Lord, was well up in her age. Praise the Lord. She was in a position where it appeared as if it was impossible, praise God, for her to bring forth a child. What do you mean? You're going to understand that what God is designed to do, it is going to be supernatural. You're going to understand that what God is designed to do in your life is not going to be a natural thing, but it's going to be a supernatural thing. What do you mean? God's not going to use, praise the Lord, just your natural stuff, but he wants to do something supernaturally in your life. But you've got to receive the word of God for yourself. You say, well, Brother Hurt, I've been in this thing for 20 years. I've been in this thing for 5 years. Or maybe I just got here last week. Praise the Lord. Or maybe I've been in this thing for 30 years. I don't know how long you've been in this thing, but when God speaks to you and he speaks a promise, you might not have a room, but if God speaks a promise because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. So if God said he's going to save my children, I'm going to believe him for the salvation of my children. If God said he's going to deliver my family, then I'm going to believe that he's going to deliver my family. If God said he's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost, I might be 50 years old, but if he says he's going to give it to me, I'm going to receive it. So what God does is he mixes. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How shall you hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? And then it also says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have to understand, praise the Lord, when you have an expectation, there's also a hope. Some of us in this room, we've lost hope. Some of us in this room, the enemy's trying to kill your hope. Some of us in this room, maybe you're at a place at one time in your walk with God where you believe God. But then what happened was you went through a season of death. You went through a season of turmoil. You went through a season of pain. You went through a season of trial. And what's happened is because of the trials in your life, you no longer have any hope. You're just existing. But can I tell you, praise the Lord, that God said, I want to restore your hope. He said, I want to start your hope back up again. He said, I want you to believe God again. I want it to be that when you come to the house of God, you come to the house of God with expectation, but not when you just come to the house of God with expectation. But God said, I need you to start leaving the house of God with expectation. Many of us come to the house of God with expectation, and we go home with no expectation. We believe that only God can do things only in the house of God. We believe that God can only do miracles in the house of God. We only believe that God can save people in the house of God. But God said, when you come here with expectation, I want you to leave here with expectation. I want you to go to work with expectation. I want you to go to your house with expectation. I want you to go to Walmart with expectation. What am I expecting him to do? I believe he can do exceeding and abundantly above all that I ask of thee, according to the power that worketh in me. If you believe that, I think you need to open up your mouth and give God some praise. If you want some expectation, I think you need to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I want to be used of God. I want to have the power of God. I want to be anointed of God. I want the hand of God on my life. Lord, restore my expectation. Not just my money, restore my expectation. Because if you're going to effectively walk with God, you have to expect something from him. We mean, you have to understand that when you have no expectation from God, then, can you hear me without this? All right. If you have no expectation from God, you will have low expectation out of yourself. Or if you have low expectation from God, out of God, then you'll have no expectation out of yourself. And what God is saying is, I want you to expect something out of me. It's impossible to empower an 11-year-old son. You ever met people that do everything for their kids? Kids are half grown and you still, you know, making up their bed. Kids are half grown and that you're still giving them lunch money. You're living in a generation even where children, teenagers, they don't even work anymore. They don't get jobs anymore. They don't even know how to cut the grass anymore. And because of that, they have no expectation out of themselves. Because no one expected anything out of them. God said, I expect something from you. When he gives you his word, he is expecting his word to produce something out of you. It doesn't matter if you've been serving the Lord 20 days. It doesn't matter if you've been serving the Lord 20 years. If you have life, it is for a purpose. Because the Bible declares to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Somebody say, Lord, increase my expectation. That means that quit thinking so small. I mean, we think that the only thing God wants from us is just to make it to heaven. That's about as equivalent on just don't go to hell. How many of you only have an expectation out of your children, just don't go to jail? Whatever you do, don't go to jail. So you raise them with the only expectation of not going to jail. And they think they're doing something because they're not going to jail. Have you taken care of your family? No, I don't take care of my kids, but at least I'm not in jail. And just like that is ridiculous, it's just as ridiculous when the only thing we're trying to do is avoid hell. Oh, whatever. I just don't want to get. No, I just want to do the will of God. I want the plan of God for my life. I want the plan of God for my children. I want the plan of God for my world. I want the plan of God for my city. Lord, ignited me a fire today. Lord, ignited me a power today. Lord, ignited me an expectation today. Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. People that have no expectation, when they go through stuff, you know, it's like you go to, what's your name, brother? Yes, sir. Brother Richards, he wakes up one morning and he says, honey. She's like, what's up? What's going on, dear? Something's terribly wrong. What's going on? I'm losing my hair. And then the wife gets on there, and then she says, oh, honey, I was on Google. And when you lose your hair, it could be from many things, and it could be you're dying. You got cancer of the scalp. You got cancer in the brain. You got folks. You ever met somebody that as soon as the smallest thing happens, oh boy, we're getting ready to die. As soon as the smallest thing happens, as soon as something happens that blindsides them, something that they did not expect happens in their life. Like, oh boy. How old are you, ladies? And have you ever had a boyfriend? Good. Anybody in here ever had a boyfriend? You ever had one break up with you? And then it's like, oh no, I'll never live again. Oh no, my whole world is caved in. It's amazing how little it takes for something to kill your expectations. It's like I go to, somebody calls me and says, Brother Hurt, you want to go to Canada? It's like, and do what? They got some good fishing spots. I'm like, really? Yeah, we're going to pay for it. And then we go up there, and my wife starts saying, oh, boy, he's never going to come back home now. It's like, you think I'm going to leave you because I'm going to a fishing hole? I left you for the fishing hole. And some of us in this room, the smallest level of adversity kills your expectation. You know, I've prophesied to folk. I remember one time, prophesied to a guy, and he called me, came up back to me, and he said, you know, you told me such and such as this is going to happen, that was going to happen. And he said, you know, I turned around, I lost everything. Look, you can't, I was like, yeah. I was like, that's just God making room for what he was going to do. Sometimes we get frustrated because we get a promise or we get a prophetic word that God's going to bless us. And then turn around and right after you get the word, hell comes crashing down on your life. Jesus said, I'm going to be glorified. But then he dies. There's always going to be some conflict. The Bible lets us know that anything, the trying of your faith works patience. His word has to be tried. Your faith has to be tested. And many of us have to say, you know what? God has spoken to me. I'm going to step out. I'm going to obey the voice of God. I expect opposition. Some of us expect God to do stuff without opposition. That's like a person expecting the car to run good. Would you buy a car and says, man, yeah, man, it's perfect, runs real good. You know, just don't run well in the rain. You know, it's a good vehicle. You know, just don't turn it on. Many of us wouldn't fool with it because it doesn't make sense. Why buy something and take it home that can't withstand the test? God says, I'm not receiving your faith just because of your confession. I receive your faith by your works. But all works have to be tested. So what are you saying? If the wind blows tomorrow, I'm going to believe God. Why? Because it doesn't mean that, oh, I miss. Some of us are like, oh, well, the devil's really done beefed up his attack now. The devil was attacking you before this. You have to let patience have its perfect work. What do you mean? I still believe God. Yes. Yes. Is there anybody in this room that you still believe God? Yes. Is there anybody in this room that says, you know what? I still believe him. I didn't get the report from the doctor that I wanted, but I still believe him. My children might be acting funny right now, but I still believe him. I'm going to hold on to his word. Is there somebody in this room that says, you know what? I still believe God. Jesus was walking with his disciples. He started teaching. And some folk walked away from him. Said, man, your sayings are too hard. Listen, is your expectation from God going to rest in the people that keep walking with him and the people that walk away from him? Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, how can we? You have the words of life. We mean, when you start dealing with the words of life, that means you have the words that produce something. And because you have words that are productive, I have expectation. They couldn't leave him because they couldn't go back to living a life with no expectation. See, when you have no expectation, you just have to take what comes to you. You just kind of just coast through life and let life get the best of you. But when you have expectation, say, no, that's not it. Take it back. We go to restaurants. If you are, or not just a restaurant, if you're buying something and you're spending your money, whether it's a restaurant or if it's a mechanic or if it's your house or if some carpet being installed, you have an expectation. And you're not going to lower your expectation because of the inconvenience. Some people say, well, man, you're just being picky. No. No, listen. God is a detailed God. He pays close attention to detail. So he said, I expect people to get the Holy Ghost on my job. I mean, some of us, God says, I want to take you outside of the scope of just, you know, we kind of come to church and like, hey, praise the Lord. How you doing? How you doing? God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, sister. And we just know everybody. Hey, you coming over to the house this weekend? Yeah, how you doing? How's the grandkids? You know, like the little social club. And we listen to the preacher, like, great word, preacher, great word. You preach right to where I'm at. And man, that song that the praise team said, oh man, it really touched my heart. And man, that preacher sure did preach. That just encouraged me. But God doesn't give you word just to encourage you. You're supposed to encourage yourself. The word that he has given us is because if he's giving you a word, if he's giving you a seed, he's giving you something because he expects fruit to come from it. He has an expectation from you. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? I think it's time not only for me to expect more from God's word, but it's time for me to expect something from this soil. The soil of my heart. Lord, take this clutter out of me. Take this unforgiveness out of me. Take this bitterness out of me. Take this anxiety out of me. You know, I've met people, you know, bitter people expect more out of everybody else than they do out of themselves. People that are frustrated, mad at everybody. You ever met somebody? They're mad at every, or they're bitter with someone. And because they have bitterness in their heart, everyone has to make adjustments around them to accommodate the bitter one. instead of them making adjustments for themselves to accommodate the word of God. Why? Because if you have bitterness in your heart, there's something about God's word that is being choked out of your life. What do you mean? There's a thorn there. So he said, I have to have the expectation. I have to have the place in my heart that if God says something, it's going to happen. Anybody want God to move in your life? I want you to lift your hands towards heaven and begin to worship him right now. Come on. I'm going to help you. Lord, help me. Help me to get rid of things that kill my expectation. Some of us are asking God to remove distractions. God said, no, I want you to make a choice. You know, it's kind of like, come here, Isaac. At one time, I'm going to pick you up. Grab me. At one time, hold on, man, because you're heavy. Hold on to me. There you go. God. At one time, he wanted to be carried. All right? You're too heavy, bro. You're too heavy. But after a while, I expect something from you. And we can't just keep going through life just asking God to carry us all the time. You're not a baby no more. We want God to handle us like a babe in Christ. We come in the church with binkies. Here's a binky for you. Binky for you. Binky for you. Binky. Binky. I got the binky ministry. No. You can walk. You can walk with God. Not only can you walk with God. Listen. Sometimes, you know, when a baby starts walking, we're excited. Like, look at her. She's taking her steps. She's walking. And it's like this. And it's cute. But I'm not going to be celebrating that you're walking at 16. You're like, Mom, look. Now, you retarded. Something wrong with you. You need to go get checked out. Something ain't right. And some of us, we're wanting to be celebrated for something that's outdated. It's time to grow up. Told my son the other day, we went out back and I cut some trees down and cut a bunch of stuff up, and then I realized, I said, hold on, I was tired, I didn't feel like picking some of this other stuff up, and I was just sitting on the patio. I said, hold on, it just hit me out of nowhere, it was a voice that said, you have a son. You have an 11-year-old son. And I was like, yay, Lord. I walked in the house. It's Isaac. He come running downstairs. Hey, man, this is what I need you to do. Go grab the trash bag. I'm sitting on the patio. Wife's sitting next to me. I said, I need you to go get that bundle of stuff over there. get that bundle of stuff over there. Oh, yeah, by the way, get that bundle of stuff. And then when he did it, it was like it just really hit. You have another man in the house. You're training him to be a man. So then I was like, I don't have to do everything anymore. So then I started thinking about all the stuff that my wife been wanting me to do that I just ain't had time to do. I've been too tired. I'm like, oh, yeah, we getting ready to do it. And when I told him, I said, amen. I said, we got a lot of stuff to do. The next day, he thought he had done. I was like, oh, yeah, tomorrow we're going to do this. Next week we're going to do that. And he got frustrated. It was the look on his face. And I said, son, I said, I have a responsibility to you. And I said, you're not going to just learn to do this stuff when you get older. Somebody has to teach you. I said, now, I'm not going to pay you to do nothing around this house. I am going to teach you how to do this so that you can get paid to do it at somebody else's. Or you can run a business and have other people do to you what I'm doing to you. Except pay them. But I'm going to give you your training. I expect something out of you. Listen, I want you to say, God, help me to grow up. Help me to grow up. Help me to get rid of the jealousy. Help me to get rid of the bitterness. Help me to get rid of the past. Help me to get rid of even past accomplishments. And say, Lord, I want your perfect will. I want you to speak to me in a way that you've never spoken to me before. Would you lift your hands? God, increase my expectation, Lord. Take away, Lord God, anything in my heart that is hindering me or hindering your word from being produced in my life. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord, of all unrighteousness. Lord, I want to produce what you have put in me, God. Lord, I want to believe you for the impossible. Come on, because see, when you have an expectation, listen, put your hands down. When I come into the house and I've been gone for a long time, and my son's upstairs or downstairs, I come in the house, he's watching to see what I'm bringing in. He has an expectation. If he hears any bags rattling, he comes out of nowhere. Because he has an expectation that dad's bringing something. He knows I'm the provider. Listen, it gets on my nerves when he does it sometimes. But what if I was the father that didn't provide? And I walk in the door and be like, oh, dad's just home. But now he has his expectation that when dad comes home, he's coming home with something. Church, God said, I put people in your job. I put people in your neighborhood to see you get out from church every Sunday. Are people knocking on your door after you come home from service? Do they have, is there anyone feasting off of the word that God's put in you? Because someone has to eat the fruit. God says, I'm going to make you fruitful. God says, I'm going to make you fruitful. Anybody want to be fruitful? Just stand up. Won't you come here? What's your name? Huh? Elizabeth, you have any family here? Grandma, which one? All right. I thought so. I didn't think you could be her grandma. So lift your hands, Elizabeth. How old are you? 29. Would you raise your hands? Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking God that you would remove tormenting memories and thoughts. Things that torment. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you will let the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding be her expectation. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would move, Lord God, around her inner, but to be effective soul winner, Lord. Bring down the high places, Lord, in the past and in the present. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you would make her whole. In Jesus' name. Expectation. Sister, what's her name? Mom, come here. That's fine. To raise your hands. How often do you pray in tongues? Do you pray in tongues? You never have. I want you to say, God, give me an expectation for the things of God. Don't you look at me. The Lord behind you, I see several clouds, dark ones. Some very dark, satanic kind of clouds. And I see some things that have attached themselves throughout the years as if they have felt like they have like ownership of you and your family. It wants to claim those that come after you because it once claimed those that came before you. And it's like you're trying to separate, but there are some ties and there's some dark loyalties. The Lord said this day, he said, I can sever that. Every cord, every tie. The Lord said, I will destroy and will break. This night, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I come against every curse. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, that has attached itself to her and this family, Lord. By the power that is in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would deliver her, Lord, from every stronghold. In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would save and deliver her soul. I come against all witchcraft. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we disconnect every tie. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would cover her tonight by the power that is in the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on, Metro sister. Go ahead and talk to him. Just begin to call on him. Come on. That's it. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking God that you would cleanse her, Lord. Lord God, she wants to do your perfect will, Lord. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on, everybody, talk to him. Come on, I want you to have an expectation for deliverance. Come on, sister. God said, I want to give you an expectation of deliverance. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Say, I renounce everything that's not like you. That's it, in the name of Jesus. By the power and the authority. It's in the name of Jesus. I command every stronghold to be broken. Right now, by the power that's in the name of Jesus. I command the severing of every cord right now. By the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Keep talking to him. Lord, I'm asking God that you fill it with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, that's it. That's it. I want you to say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want my pumpkin car. Change me today. I want you to be Lord over my life. Come on, that's it. Begin to worship him. Come on, that's it. Come on. Come on, that's it. I'm going to lay hands on you. And as soon as I do, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. As soon as I do, you're going to talk in tongues. He's all over you right now. Hear this. Come on, that's it. Hear this. Come on, that's it. By the Mashoga. Hear this. In 5 seconds, you're going to talk in tongues. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Come on, church. She's talking in tongues. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, lift your hands, worship him. Come on, magnify him. Come on, glorify him. Shokunda la baya la bo so kolya la bakaya. Mandula la basaya la bakaya la basat. Amen. God just filled her with the Holy Ghost. She's going to get baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. You got to have an expectation. Come on, you got to have an expectation. Why? Because when you get an expectation, you get authority. When you get an expectation, you get power. The enemy wants to kill. He can't stop the word. But if he can hinder your expectation. Sister, come here. You related to them? That's your mom. How about that fella? Come here, husband. Brother, husband. What's your name? Andrew. Where are you from? Where are you from? Allentown? Okay. All right. I want you to raise your hands. You talk in tongues? Not yet? She did, though, the other day. Congratulations. God's going to fill you. I want you to raise your hands. Sister, would you look at me? The Lord said The Lord is your light and your salvation. There is no one or nothing that you need to fear other than God. I've come to tell you this night, the Lord says what he has started, he is going to finish. I see the enemy, I see intimidation, and I also see the enemy, I see intimidation, I see altars, and I see destruction behind you. The Lord said that he is going to cleanse everything that pertains to you. But you're going to have to stay focused on marching forward. You're a person, not just you, but also the women on your mom's side of the family. It is hard for you guys to take losses. And what I mean by that, even to the place where it's hard to just walk away from something and walk away when someone has harmed you or done something wrong. It's called bitterness. That desire to want to get even or get back. The Lord said, I want you to walk in forgiveness. I want you to walk in forgiveness. And when the enemy brings people to your mind that have harmed you in the past, I want you to begin to pray blessings. The Bible says, bless them that curse you. When something and someone does something to us, we're responsible to speak the blessings of God upon them. Never use your lips or your hands to ever curse. We are supposed to be blessers. And when we do that, we see the hand of God begin the work. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you would begin to do even more. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done already. But I'm asking, Lord, that you would do even more. Lord, we take authority right now over every spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord, that is fought from then to now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give them breakthrough, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would bring healing, that you would bring closure. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
My life. I want you, Jesus, to lord over everything.